Dear friends, I'm glad to be with you again today as we intend to complete our study on the bowls. We have seen so far the introduction to the bowls, chapter 15, where God's people seem to be worshipping his God on the sea of glass, and then we have studied the bowls themselves. The first four ones reminding us serious ecological disturbances that led to disease and all kinds of horrible things. And we also drew a parallel with the plagues of Egypt. The fifth spoke of darkness on the throne of the beast. The sixth spoke about the drying up of Euphrates, probably the consequence of the collapse of Middle East countries following the terrible war described in the sixth trumpet. And now comes the seventh cup. And I suggest we read together chapter 16, verses 17 to 21. Revelation 16, 17 to 21. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. The text begins with a voice from the temple, from the throne. And you have already heard that voice at the beginning of the pouring of the bowls. But this time it says, "It is done." With the seventh cup, we come to the end of the plagues, to the end of the story, the end of history. It is done. And there, dramatic events happen. Verse 18 describes lightnings, voices, thunderings, then an earthquake. Let's read it together. Revelation 16, 18. And there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Chapter 6 already informed us about a great earthquake. And I invite you to read it in verse 12. Revelation 6, 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll which is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every freeman hid to themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. This earthquake is such that all the islands and all the mountains are moved out of their place. Such an earthquake has never been felt yet. And the sixth seal is not yet opened. But the earthquake described here in chapter 16 is even more violent since the islands and the mountains disappear. We are actually in the end. We understand that the earth cannot go further anymore. End of the journey. Now, related to the seventh trumpet, an item is missing. The seventh trumpet in Revelation 11:19 told us about five elements. I suggest we read the verse. Revelation 11:19. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. In this description of chapter 16, there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, and we must wait till we come to verse 21 to see the hail. Revelation 16:21. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. But whether we be in the seventh trumpet or in the seventh bowl, the five elements are mentioned therein. Now let's go to verse 19, Revelation 16, 19. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The important thing that happens here in this verse, verse 19, is the division of Babylon in three. If Babylon is divided, we have the proof that it was composed of three parts, at least three main parts. One can even wonder if the division is not the cause of its fall. Let me read to you what Jesus said about it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 25. Matthew 12, 25 and 26. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Well, here Satan is divided against himself. The three components of Babylon are all directed by Satan. But this system shall be divided. It shall be destroyed as a result of its division." Of course, one may ask about these three elements, but we have already seen this before in the preceding event. In the sixth bowl, we saw three powers involved: the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet associated together to send the spirits of devils to the kings of the earth. So, is this not the association that constitutes Babylon? Several arguments point out in that direction. The first argument is related to evil spirits. These unclean spirits inhabit the three entities that we have seen: the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. But Babylon itself is full of evil spirits, and I invite you to read just a little further in chapter 18 of Revelation, verse 2. Verset 2. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison from every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hated bird. The same evil spirits inhabit the three entities seen, and they reside in Babylon too. Then there is a second link. They go to the kings of the earth. Yet Babylon is the one who reigns over the kings of the earth. We read this at the end of chapter 17, Revelation 17:18. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. We still have another link between the sixth and the seventh bowl. Indeed, we have in the sixth bowl the drying up of the Euphrates. We know that the drying up of the Euphrates has historically preceded the fall of Babylon. As a matter of fact, when King Darius sought to take Babylon, Babylon being virtually an impregnable fortress surrounded by colossal walls, and the Euphrates River ran through the city, diagonally passing under the walls, which formed like a bridge upstream and downstream. Large metal gates were installed at the points where the river flowed in and out of the city.
Quand elle passait, la muraille passait en pont au-dessus du fleuve, en amont et en aval, et de grandes herses étaient dans l'épaisseur du mur et descendaient dans le fleuve. Et tous les soirs,
to prevent invaders or crafts from entering the city, each night the barrows forming the gates were lowered. Rentrer dans la ville. Eh bien, en faisant ainsi, but King Darius had a brilliant idea. He dug a canal around the walls, built a sand barrier upstream between the river and the canal, and at the lowest moment, pulled down the barrier, thus causing the waters of Euphrates River engulf the canal from the river, bypassing Babylon. When the river's flow had dropped down, Darius's soldiers simply marched under the city walls, broke the metal gates, and entered Babylon, while Belshazzar was inside the city feasting, thinking that his kingdom was impregnable. So you see, the drying up of the Euphrates immediately precedes the fall of Babylon. Here is still another link. During the message of the second angel, chapter 14, we hear about Babylon. However, we have never heard of Babylon before, and it is extremely surprising to speak of an entity announcing that it is fallen. Because the message says, Babylon is fallen, without having talked about it before. Yes, but in chapters 12 and 13, when we spoke at length of the dragon in chapter 12, the beast at the beginning of chapter 13, and the two-horned beast that is the false prophet, the second part of chapter 13. And when we get to chapter 14, it seems that we have never heard of Babylon, but we have talked about the dragon, of the beast, of the false prophet, which are components of Babylon. We also saw that these three entities in chapter 12 and 13 were associated, and that the power passed smoothly from one to the other. Similarly, when Babylon disappears, burnt with fire, its components do not disappear. We'll see them burn successively in the fiery lake of fire and brimstone. So Babylon indeed appears as the combination of these three forces. When it disappears, the other forces do not, although we are at the end. Therefore, there are all the reasons to believe that Babylon is none other than the association, the conglomerate of these three powers together: the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, or to be clearer, the European political religious system, the United States political religious system, and the spiritualism and all forms of occultism led by the dragon. So all men endure the bowls of the wrath of God. Babylon too will have to drink of the cup of the wrath of God. And there is here a great earthquake that will move everything. We read that in verse 20, Revelation 16, 20. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. It is a colossal earthquake to which the earth cannot survive. We are really at the end. And verse 21 confirms it when it says, "And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent." A talent. That makes 40 kilo. And indeed, men blaspheme because they cannot withstand such a plague. However, they do not repent, not more than the two previous times. For the third time, we are told, they blaspheme. A text summarizes the plight of the earth at that time. It is the text of Isaiah chapter 24, which I invite you to read now. This text is so evocative that it could have been placed in the book of Revelation at that time. Isaiah chapter 24, verses 20 to 23. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall, and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. They will be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and will be shut up in the prison. After many days, they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter and will fall and not rise again. The verses which I have just read shows us that we are in this context of the end. And this passage from the prophet Isaiah describes what happens after. So, I'd like to share with you a chart showing that judgment of God takes place according to a symmetry quite extraordinary.
Selon une symétrie tout à fait extraordinaire.
The first part of this table shows the seals. We have seen that seals describe the judgment of God's house. But it first concerns the judgment of the dead in particular with the opening of the fifth seal. Then, with the sixth seal, we've just been talking about, with this great earthquake begins the judgment of the 144,000, the judgment of the living. However, this judgment will mainly be achieved through the trumpets. So, first phase, the judgment of the house of God, but the judgment of the dead of God's house. Phase 2, the judgment of the house of God, but the judgment of the living. And then we come to the bowls. The bowls are already the judgment of the wicked. However, it is the judgment of those who are alive. Then follows the 1,000-year period, the text Isaiah evoked. This is still the judgment of Babylon, the judgment of the wicked, but the judgment of the dead. And thus, there is a symmetry. The judgment of the dead in the house of God, the judgment of the living, the judgment of the living among the reprobates, and the judgment of the dead. There would be another symmetry to develop because there is the final judgment. So, what can we grasp from this teaching? Probably that if Babylon falls, it is because it is divided. And we know that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Satan rules by dividing one against another, by envy, by jealousy. So ultimately, he cannot stand. And the prophet of the Old Testament said, I leave you a fire that consumes you. Evil contains within itself the seeds of its own destruction. That is why the people of God is called to be united. I would like to read a text with you that we find in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. I propose you read a little further from verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. There is neither male nor female, neither Jews nor foreigners, neither white nor black, but a united people around his Savior. That's the true people of God. C'est cela, le véritable peuple de Dieu.